Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Be doing that after Thanksgiving. Got a whole series of dates coming up before December. Then, of course, our big cup of soup or bowl happening in February. Also, big week for me personally this week. I've been chiding all of the men in my life to have a colonoscopy, get your PSA number checked, do all that stuff. I am going in and have the special milkshake and everything for Thursday night. Sounds like it's going to be quite the adventure. I've been assured that I will survive it, and I'll feel even better knowing that I'm healthy. So remind everybody out there on behalf of our friends at GBMC to do it because I'm doing it. Luke Jones is here. He's doing it. The Ravens are doing it. Everybody's doing it. Mike Elias isn't doing it just yet. But victories, four in a row, and the Ravens very much back in this thing. And you and I have been talking here in the aftermath of the win over the Browns about pathways and teams in the way and New England this and Denver that and all these upstart teams and all that. Hey, man, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh waiting right here. The Jets coming up this week. But the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh thing, as weird as it was when the schedule came out, that all of these games are backloaded. This is what I talked about. Maybe this is the time of the year where the Ravens are trending in the right direction and Aaron Rodgers is on the injury report and the Bengals don't know which Joe is playing and it doesn't matter because their defense doesn't have enough Jimmys and Joes.
Yeah, and it's a reminder that you're one play away, right, from your season teetering or changing, or in the case of the Ravens, they've gotten healthier since the first 5, 6 weeks of the season. And even though they were missing some guys on Sunday, they're for the most part, they're not dealing with too many long-term injuries other than Madubuike being obviously the big one. And lo and behold, even in victory on Sunday, Pittsburgh, who their defense did a nice job against the Bengals offense. I'll begrudgingly give them credit there. Even with Jalen Ramsey with his senseless ejection, the big story coming out of that game is Aaron Rodgers and his hand and how much time is he going to miss and what does this mean for Pittsburgh now and Mason Rudolph potentially starting games here, at least in the short term. I mean, it's not that Aaron Rodgers is Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow. I mean, obviously Joe Burrow has been talked about quite a bit, and now that's changed the trajectory of the Bengals season, I suppose. Although Joe Flacco's put up points, I mean, Sunday notwithstanding, their defense is woeful. But you get to this point in the season, and we hear it all the time. You hear coaches talk about it, your players talk about it, how in the NFL games are lost more than they're won. And a big element of that is how healthy you are. And obviously, the Ravens were not very healthy early in the season, on top of not playing very well and having a tough schedule. That's flipped for them in the sense that they've won four in a row, albeit not against a juggernaut slate of opponents. And they're one game back of Pittsburgh. And okay, the Steelers win on Sunday, but they lose their quarterback at least for a little while, it seems. We'll see how this plays out in the coming days, but it certainly changes things when you're talking about Mason Rudolph compared to, yes, even a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers. That's a different animal there. So we're going to see how this plays out, and it is strange. I mean, obviously they play the Jets on Sunday, but Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and then at Cincinnati, three AFC North games in a row. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these next few weeks play out. And let's face it, a great opportunity for the Ravens to not just move above 500, but depending on what happens with Pittsburgh, a chance to move into sole possession of first place in the AFC North.
Well, watching the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati slog that happened prior to the Ravens slog gave me a different level of confidence that the Ravens are still the best team here. Whether they were 62% to win the division before the weekend began and whether Pittsburgh won and they won, which both happened, and they, again, will see each other shortly and plenty. I mean, plenty of football. We're going to have four big days with these division games, but it feels to me like the Ravens are the best team. Now, that being said, they needed a fourth and one miracle play off the edge to run for a touchdown to beat the Browns. They were losing to the Browns. They might have lost to the Browns had that fourth down play not gone swimmingly. If someone would have hit the gap, stopped it, I don't know, blew it up, whatever, fumbles, anything could have happened. That would have changed the day, and 4-6 would have felt a lot different than 5-5. And it feels like, my God, it's been just an epic slog just to get back to 500 at this point, and staring at the Jets and staring at, a weakened Cincinnati team, whatever they're going to be. They better not be good enough to beat the Ravens next Thursday night and wreck Thanksgiving. So all that being said, you pencil the Ravens in at 7-5 on the other edge of this by Black Friday, by next Friday. You would never have known they were 1-5, right? They could have been 1-1 and 2-2 and 3-2 and 4-2 and 4-3. I mean, but the teams they lost to and the way they lost and the way these victories are going to feel about as hollow as the Cleveland victory feels right now. I mean, yeah, it's important. It got them the fight. It's all that, but there was nothing about it that leads you to believe this is an impressive or a dominant team or a Super Bowl contender until they start stacking them 4 in a row. This week would be 3 in a row on the road, right?
Yeah, and that's something that you and I haven't mentioned enough, in some of our previous discussions where we dove into the game a little bit deeper. I mean, this was three straight road games. Now, we think in baseball of long road trips where, you're literally gone away from home for a week and a half. I mean, it's a little bit different in the NFL. You come home, sleep in your own bed, you practice during the week, all that, right? Not the same thing as a trip to London or, like the teams that were playing in Spain Sunday morning, Washington and Miami. But three straight road games is a challenge. It's a challenge to win on the road in the NFL. We talk about that a lot. So for them to do that, albeit Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, not murderer's row in the same way that, like, when they played Buffalo, Detroit, and Kansas City in a 4 week period to open the season. But it's still notable, especially for a team that was 2-5 at the time to do that. So they put themselves in a better position in that way. And, as much as we talk about it in terms of, okay, they've won 4 in a row now after losing 4 in a row, that's when you do look around at the rest of the league and see that there are other teams that have issues, even other teams that you fancy as really good teams. I mean, Kansas City has the same exact record as the Ravens right now. They didn't start off 1-5 in the same way. And, they're, like I said, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I mean, dummies like me were saying, man, this might be as great as Kansas City's actually been in 3 years. I mean, like, and well, they've lost back-to-back games now and lost coming out of the bye. And they have a very minute chance now at winning their division. I mean, think about 5-5 for them compared to 5-5 for the Ravens. I mean, if Pittsburgh right now were 9-2, we'd be talking about the Ravens in terms of, like, okay, how many wins is it going to take that you are going to be in position that you can steal a wild card,
Wasn't
right?
there
But
some crazy stat where Mahomes hadn't played a road game in the playoffs a couple years ago? Like
well, and
they were like a home team forever and ever and ever. Like the road trail for them is not something that they've done, like in this way,
well,
right?
two years ago they did. I mean, they won in Buffalo and then they came to Baltimore and beat the Ravens. Before then, they had, I don't think Mahomes had played a playoff road game before then. So,
That's what I'm
look,
saying. Like,
sure.
they the pedigree of them scuffling into the playoffs and having to go the whole thing on the road is,
Oh,
that's
it's different.
tough.
It's tough, but if there's any team that you would point to and say, hey, this is not me burying the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's be clear. In the same way that, Buffalo for all the, and by the way, as much as we're, I saw a lot of people, the speaking not so flat and not so flattering terms about them. They are 7-3. Like, I get it. Their run defense stinks. And that's generally not something that is going to translate well in January. Typically, if you can't at least stop the run, yeah, that can be problematic to say the least. But at the same time, they're 7-3, but are they gonna catch New England, right? I mean, Patriots, give them credit. Their record is pretty formidable, even if you're not completely a believer in them in those terms. But you just look at it for the Ravens. I mean, there's you can poke holes in any of these teams at this point in time. And yeah, you can poke holes in the Ravens too, right? I mean, that's, but there's just a wide open nature to it. And you said it in a previous segment, and I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, the NFL loves what it sees in the AFC right now. I mean, this is how the league is constructed to be. You know, the that's why what Kansas City has done over the last 6 years on the heels of what New England did for the better part of close to 20 years is it defies logic in terms of what the league is supposed to be, but it also is a reminder of just how important quarterback play is. And that's why even at 5-5, no, you're not going to bury the Chiefs yet. Even at 1-5, you weren't burying the Ravens at that point, assuming Lamar Jackson was going to come back and be healthy in a relatively reasonable amount of time, which he was, you know, maybe a game longer than we thought, but still, you know, 3 games is not out for 3 months. You know, in the same way that, you know, I mean, Cincinnati, I mean, with Joe Burrow, although it's just weird because, you know, Joe Flacco has put up big numbers for them, and, you know, Sunday aside, but their defense, they can't stop anyone. So, you know, that's kind of a different animal that we're talking about here.
Well,
But
there is no complete team here at this point.
no, I mean, it's, you know, in the NFC, I mean, I think there's a few teams that look more complete than in the AFC right now, but at the same time, like at some point, it's like Denver deserves credit. New England deserves credit. Indianapolis, I still think Daniel Jones is going to turn into a pumpkin at some point in time. And, you know, maybe we've seen some glimpses of that here in recent weeks with him. But they still have Jonathan Taylor, who might have the best chance of a running back winning the MVP in quite a long time, even though I don't think he will. But, you know, you look at those upstarts and you say, well, at one point in time, Buffalo was that upstart. At one point in time, Kansas City was that upstart when they barely lost to New England in that 2018 AFC title game. The Ravens with Lamar the first year or two. I mean, so, you know, it starts somewhere for these teams, or maybe they're a flash in the pan, and maybe they're, you know, thinking about like when Kerry Collins led the Titans to be in the number one seed in 08, and the Ravens went in there and beat them, right? So you never really know, and that's what makes this fun. I mean, we're still 7 weeks out from the end of the regular season, and I still don't know what to make of this AFC. I mean, I really don't. You know, I still think Patrick Mahomes will be heard from. I still think Josh Allen will be heard from. I think Lamar Jackson will be heard from. But those new teams that are sitting at the top as things, you know, get closer and closer to Thanksgiving, I mean, doesn't feel like they're going
Well,
away
the Ravens get to
necessarily.
measure themselves against the Patriots, right?
Yeah, they'll
In
get
the
to do
midst
that.
of all the Steelers, and they're going to measure themselves against the Packers too.
Sure,
You know,
sure.
and where it stands as to how much they need those games. When they were losing late in the game against the Browns, and it felt like they might lose, once Shedeur Sanders came in, I'm like, he stinks. Like, he stinks. And he'll give him the game, and he was throwing the ball at him right out of the gate. And I'm like, man, he's going to turn. He's exactly what they don't need, a kid trying to earn his stripes out there instead of managing the game and just taking the 6 points he has on the scoreboard and trying to use it to win. You know, I started thinking about the end of the game and how good the Ravens could be and what the perception would be if they lost. So if they lose, they're 4-6. I remember back when it was 1-5, it felt like if they take their sixth loss, the season's over. Then they're 2-5. Well, 2-6, man. Even Minnesota last week, I said they're playing for, you know, their life when they're that far upside down. 4-6 wouldn't scare me right now. In some way, had they lost the game, I wouldn't have felt like the season's over. And I feel like they're going to lose again. I think they'll probably lose a couple of times again before it's all over with. I just don't know the devastation of the losses when you're not really chasing any team that's going to be more than probably 12-5, right?
Yeah, I mean it's tough to say. I mean I think it goes back to the point I made when we first, you know, hopped on and started talking about the aftermath of this win, where, you know, every and this is the same when whether you start 1-5 or whether you're 5-1, right? I mean, every game you can win now is one fewer game that you have to win later. Like, do you follow what I mean? Like, in the sense that, you know, if they had dropped Sunday's game, no, the season wouldn't have been over. But now you look at that final 4-game stretch and you're saying they need to make sure that, not necessarily that you win out, but better win 3 out of 4. Remember when several weeks back when you said I'll bet money on them being 7 and 7, and I said to you at the time, my thought is you need to be better than 7 and 7 because you don't want to be in a position where that last, those last three games are must win if you want to get to 10 wins. And again, we're projecting out. We don't know what Pittsburgh's going to be, and especially now with if Mason Rudolph starting games. I mean, I don't know, Nestor. I mean, the Ravens, if they continue to win the games that they're supposed to win, even if it's not stylistically as appealing as you'd like it to be, right? I mean, like, they don't look like the juggernaut Ravens of a couple years ago. But I don't know, man. If Aaron Rodgers, let's say he misses, and I, as we're talking in real time, someone's listening, maybe there's more definitive information. But if he misses, say, 2 to 3 weeks or something like that week 18 game might not mean anything. I mean, like, seriously, like, and I'm projecting way ahead here, and just humor me, but you don't know. But the point is, the fact that they didn't drop Sunday's game and they didn't stub their toe and they didn't give one away and drop one to an inferior team, yada, yada, yada,
It
that's
puts
just,
less pressure on them later when they
yeah,
have to play
it puts
Pittsburgh,
you in
for
the
sure.
position where if you're going to Pittsburgh or you're going to Green Bay in week 17, where, don't get me wrong, you still want to win and you want to build momentum and you want to feel good about yourselves, and these are going to be good tests for them in terms of, okay, it's certainly not going to be easier than that come January, and you might have a home playoff game, but you might not have more than that depending on how this shakes out, or probably won't. So yeah, that's good. Those are going to be some good tests, but those will still be tests. But the more games you win now, you still have whatever little margin for error you have. And we knew it. I mean, it's not like when they were 1-5, we were saying, oh man, they have to go 11-0 or they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think anyone ever thought that, because people looked at Pittsburgh and looked at this division and said, no, you're not going to need to. As it stands in terms of aiming for anything higher than that, I mean, it's kind of tough to look at that when, New England and Denver have two losses, and Indianapolis as well. I mean, there would have to be some really, those teams really falling off to really think the Ravens are going to have any kind of practical chance to be better than the number 4 seed. But that said, you still want to win, and you need to get to that point. And you don't want to just, you don't want to be in a position where you're just happy to be there, right? I mean, it's not like the standard is lowered to that degree. If you win the division and you're at the point, whether you're 10-7 or finish 11-6 or whatever it is, even if they win out, right? At that point, we're going to be thinking not just, oh, win in the first round and then, hey, good season, guys. No, we're going to be talking about them getting to a Super Bowl because
Or
that's the
else.
ultimate goal, right? So, but that's why it was so big for them to win, because even in these recent seasons when they've had better records and they've had better overall teams and their DVOA was better, and all the different things we talked about, 11 or 12 Pro Bowl guys, all that, they still had some games where they dropped it and said, how did they drop that game? You look at that early in the season, and look, this isn't to forgive 1-5, but okay, the Buffalo game was a collapse. Fully acknowledge that, right? They led by 2 scores with 5 minutes to go, but Detroit just beat them. Right? There wasn't anything like, I don't think the Ravens gave that game away. The Ravens didn't beat themselves. Detroit beat them in that game. Kansas City beat them in that game. And then Houston and LA, I mean, they were just so banged up and Lamar wasn't playing. I mean, like, we weren't surprised by those outcomes. So on Sunday, had they lost to Cleveland, that would have been the first time since week 1 in Buffalo where you say, my gosh, they just lost the game they had no business losing. I mean, period. So the fact that they didn't, this isn't to pat them on the
Even if they
back
were
too
losing
much.
most of the afternoon,
Right,
right? Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
But that's still a game that we've seen them lose in previous years, right? That they lost in Cleveland last year, in a game
Every
where,
year, the last
yeah.
couple of years. Yeah.
So that's where you look at this. If you're looking in terms of big picture, in terms of style points, stylistically, no, there was nothing about their offense that was pretty on Sunday, other than just that one play call and executed to perfection with Mark Andrews. But we go back to the point that Kyle Hamilton made, and I wrote about this at BaltimorePositive.com after the Minnesota game. That idea of scar tissue. This team had a lot of scar tissue at the beginning of the year, and I talked about this a lot with the Orioles. Not so much this year, But in the second half of 24, remember how many times I said at the time, you're hoping that this pays some dividends at some point, that they're going through these struggles and you're hoping it makes them better at some point in the future. This Ravens team, and I talked about it a lot last year with you, where I said, you know, when we knew that they weren't going to be the number one seed last year, and I said, maybe the team that finally breaks through is the team that no one expects to break through, and they're not the number one seed, and they don't have home field, and they're an underdog on the road, and they're not as dominant, and maybe that's the team that finally does it. And that kind of speaks to your point where you say, can the Ravens do it? Sure, why not this year? Because who else is like someone's going to win,
I don't know.
and.
You and I spent 8 months thinking they would be rounded into being this talented 12, 13 win team.
Yeah.
They might
And
be a 10 or 11 win team that is more talented than everybody else by the time they get to the second week of January, despite the fact that the offensive line, defensive line feel very deficient right now.
look.
Deficient enough to have them behind for three quarters in Cleveland.
Sure. Yeah, and obviously that's not the formula because, you know, if they play the way they did offensively and turning the ball over three times against a good team, you're going to get beat
Well, Myles
most of the
Garrett's
time.
also a
Sure. Well,
factor too.
sure. Yeah. But, you know, in the sense of you're hoping some of what they've gone through in the first half of the season pays off from an intangible standpoint, from a standpoint of going through some adversity, looking like you're done, right? I mean, how many people were ready to just fire everybody? And people were talking about the draft and all that. And like, look, fans were frustrated, and I understand
Well,
that. I mean,
one
it
in
was a very
five's
frustrating.
one in five,
It's
dog.
terrible. Of course. No, I'm not beating anyone up for feeling that way, but that was prevalent, right? I mean, there were not a whole lot of believers at that
I'm
point in
proud of
time.
being the guy that said they'd be 7-7. They turned the season around. There would be a real season here because I did look at the schedule. And now that you look at it, it's gone even more optimistically than maybe you would have thought from a health standpoint, from a result standpoint, but not from an eyeball test standpoint just yet.
Yeah. Well, and look, it can also be fleeting, right? I mean, as much as it's better right now, you're one or two injuries away from not feeling so great about it again, right? And you know, I'm not going to name names. You know who guys I'm talking about in that category, especially knowing that the schedule will toughen up here after this Jets game again. You know, with AFC North games, and then obviously three of four on the road to finish the regular season. So it can all change very quickly. And but that's again, that goes back to the point of why it was just so critical for them to steal, escape, survive, whatever, however you want to categorize that win, right? I mean, however you want to describe it on Sunday, ugly, all of that, right? But they won it. I'll take that over losing that game. And now you're saying, all right, now you're 4-6, and if you want to win 10 games, you can only lose one more game the rest of the
I
way.
keep
And
saying this is fun because it's interesting to me. Because the more we talk about it, the more there's no dominant
who
team,
knows?
the more that the games matter. And the Jets this week and Cincinnati soon thereafter, and what version of the Ravens we get. But I would say this, we're all of the expectation that there is another level here.
You would hope so. Yeah. I mean, now, does this offense have more of a ceiling because of the play of the offensive line than in recent seasons? Yeah, I think so. I don't know if their offensive line is going to find a level to make this a dominant offense overall. Can it be better though? Yeah. I mean, you have a two-time MVP at quarterback. And let's face it, I mean, Lamar did not play well on Sunday. I mean, that was a bad game for Lamar's standards. He played poorly. The two INTs were, you know, one went off Keaton Mitchell's hands, and that was on Keaton Mitchell way more. And the other one went off what? Rosengarten's helmet, which was just, you know, just a weird play. But he didn't play well. I mean, he'd be the first to tell you he didn't play well. But they won a game when Lamar Jackson didn't play well, right? How many times have people talked about, well, Lamar has to go in the phone booth and be Superman and carry them? They won a game where Lamar did not play very well, right? They won a game where their offense stunk for most of the game. Even that has not happened a whole lot. Even go back the last couple of years, there weren't too many times they've won games where you said Lamar was bad,
Good fortune
right?
goes a long way
So there
in
you
all of
go.
it.
And look, luck is a way bigger part of all this than anyone cares to admit. I say that quite often. And, you know, we're going to see how this plays out, right? And again, you look around the rest of the league and how much of it's related to health. And, I mean, look at Houston, how they've, the Texans, I mean, they've been without their quarterback and they've found a way to, to win a couple games, albeit they beat the Tennessee Titans on Sunday, but hey, the Ravens beat the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, like you need to, sometimes it's, you'd rather be
Hey, put
lucky.
who they put in front of you. I mean, there was Lions and Chiefs and
Exactly. I
Rams
mean,
earlier in the year. I'll take the Jets and I'll take whatever version of the Bengals we get that can't stop anybody.
yeah, well, and you know what? Even in that game, whether it's Joe Flacco or Joe Burrow, we're going to get a better idea of where this Ravens defense is, right? Like in terms of, okay, everyone agrees it's better. I mean, it couldn't have been any worse than it was the first 5 weeks, but it's better, and I think it's markedly better. Is it elite? Is it great? Is it the kind of group that you feel really confident can slow down playoff caliber quarterbacks and offenses? Well, Cincinnati has a playoff caliber offense at the very least. They don't have a playoff caliber defense. And on the flip side, the Ravens just won a game against a playoff caliber
Well, the
defense,
Ravens are
right?
going to get
So,
tested by these good teams all throughout December, so
yeah,
they're going to get their measurement.
we'll find out.
They're not going to get it this week, but they're going to get it. And part of this is checking these two off the box and winning them both. Winning another division game at home on Thanksgiving night, maybe against Joe Flacco, maybe against Joe Burrow. But either way, it's a big week around here. It's been a really good time for them to stay healthy. I saw Kyle Hamilton get dinged up toward the end of the game on Sunday against the Browns. Just this is a good time to have good health and good fortune with these two games coming up here and
Yeah.
get themselves really righted. And at 7-5, we wake up on Black Friday.
Right. And we'll see, we'll see about Humphrey's status. I mean, he had a pin put in his finger. I mean, I'm guessing ideally you'd like to hold him out of the Jets game. We'll see how that goes. I mean, I don't think Bateman's going to miss too much time, but you'd like to get him back here in the near future. But you said it. I mean, especially knowing you have a quick turnaround against Cincinnati, and I get it, the Bengals can't stop anybody. But Sunday's game against the Jets, get a win and get out of that healthy. And I know that's not like a skill. I mean, like, you're kind of at the mercy of just football, and it's a violent game. But when you know what kind of stretch they have after that, I mean, I'll say it now, and we'll talk about the Jets later in the week. That's a game where you'd love to get Lamar Jackson out of the game with 12 minutes to go in a perfect world, especially knowing Lamar has dealt with hamstring early in the year, knee here recently. Man, you'd love to be up by three touchdowns or four touchdowns that you can get him and a couple of the other veterans out with 10 minutes to go, knowing that you have a Thursday night game against an AFC North opponent, and then you play Pittsburgh the week after that, right? So, and obviously you've got to go play. And look, the Jets, they weren't embarrassed by New England on Thursday night. I mean, they looked good for their first drive at least. I mean, not so much after that, but I mean, it's, you play the team that's in front of you, take care of business, and then business will pick up after that. But again, all the ugliness of Sunday aside, they got to win, and that's what matters. You move on, you try to get another win, and you do that, you're over 500, which 6 weeks ago, Ravens fans would have been doing cartwheels thinking about that possibility.
Well, I'm
So,
excited because it's a fun season,
yeah,
and it's an
who
interesting
knows?
season from a storybook standpoint or however it ends up. They were 1-5. They battle back. I think they're going to be fine in the long run, whatever fine means. Like, they're going to have to go out in January and win games.
Yeah.
But between now and then, we'll be the true believers around here. He's Luke Jones. He's Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We're both out on the internet, everywhere the internet travels. I'm getting schooled up on AI. I have been bringing all my friends onto the show to have them poo-poo AI as I continue to use it and move forward. And the Ravens move forward this week as well. If there's any maneuverings, any moves, any Oriole trades, anything happens, you'll get it first in the WNST tech service. That's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill was actually the first guy to bring me AI about a year, year and a half ago, and now I've moved ahead of him. So we'll see how the scoreboard goes. But I'm getting schooled up. If anybody out there is into AI, throw me a note. I like learning things. Send me to your teachers. Send me to your leaders. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Stay with us.